Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and boy, I'm gonna have fun with this. We got the famous Richard Mack, Sheriff, and CSPOA, and Sheriff Saving America. These are some of the hot topics that we're gonna hit. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. Got to give a warning here. The government wants me to tell you anytime you do any kind of investment, it's a risk. Well, they should hang that sign over every bank in America because they can steal your money under the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010. And Noble Gold is in part in the business of helping people protect their assets. I've been a customer, just did a deal yesterday with Noble Gold for the 11th time in 8 years. I've been an advertiser for nine. They're the best people to deal with. Don't be a victim of the system. The banks are in trouble. The great reset is coming. Don't get caught in the middle. Let Noble Gold protect you like I am. Call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Well, I think Richard Mack, as he said in his own words when we did a joint speaking engagement in Kingman, Arizona a few years ago, he said, "I think I'm one of the few people that's ever challenged the Clintons and lived to tell about it." And it's true. He beat the Clintons in their gun control situation and how they tried to pass the cost on to the counties. He did that when he was sheriff of Graham County, right, Richard?
Yep, Graham, like Graham Cracker.
That's right, Graham County. He made national headlines today. He educates sheriffs on how to stand up for the Constitution in the face of liberal politicians. I think that's a pretty good characterization, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Okay, well, you got a lot going on here, and I know that you've got a wish list for Trump. I know that you're going after the IRS. You want the abolition of the IRS and the Federal Reserve. Amen to that, my brother.
Yep.
And the sheriffs are under attack because they're one of the last bastions of true freedom. So where do we jump in here? Where do we start?
Well, first, let's just make sure everybody knows and understands why a small town sheriff would take on the Goliath Clinton administration, and that really has several prongs to it. First of all, they sent agents of the BATF to our Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix and handed us a 25-page document that detailed our marching orders from the United States Congress and the White House, what we had to do to enforce the Brady Bill for them for free without any negotiation. Look, I already had, and most of the sheriffs here, about half of them, had contracts with the federal government, and it was specifically the Federal Bureau of Prisons, to take some of their excess inmates when they got too over populated. They would send some of them to our jail. They can't do that by just ordering me. We had a contract. I signed it. They signed it. The board of supervisors signed it. Our county attorney signed it. And they paid us, and it was quite handsomely. And so now they just said, well, we can come in and order the sheriff to enforce federal laws for us, and we're not paying him anything, and we're not negotiating. We're just telling him to do it, and we'll arrest him if he fails to comply. Dave, people say I'm crazy and that didn't happen. It's all documented. I've got it documented. And it's right here in this little book where I talk about the case. Now, Dave, this is what every freedom fighter in America, what every patriot dreamed of having happen, and to have a documented evidence that one, the sheriff is the CLEO, the chief law enforcement officer. That is in this book where Justice Scalia wrote it in his introduction of this case.
Absolutely.
And that we are sovereign. That's in this case. He clarifies the supremacy clause, that did not give supremacy to the federal government. The founding fathers had no intention of creating another monster in Washington, D.C., in creating a new central government. That was their greatest fear. And he said that we must define the sphere of authority for the federal government and the state government. In other words, federalism. And then he does one other thing. He defines in this Supreme Court case, folks, what all of us have been dreaming that would happen. It already happened. June 27, 1997, when this case came out. I was a sheriff for 8 years in the 90s. Folks, this miracle is something every single one of you should have. And I'm not pushing this little booklet because look, it's tiny. It fits in your shirt pocket. I don't make any money off of this. You can get three for $5. And folks, this is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision, state sovereignty decision in the history of our country. And every single one of you should have these and get dozens of them so that you can pass them. Again, it's white and it has all the state flags on it, front and back. And you should pass these around to your local sheriffs, to your chief of police, the town manager, the county manager, county commissioners, your state reps, your governor, so that they know and understand what the federal government, what the United States Supreme Court ruled way back then. Then out of that case, I formed the CSPOA.
Yep.
Because this backs it up. This adds the credibility to what we've been talking about the entire time.
Tell the audience what CSPOA stands for.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. So CSPOA. And the reason, folks, don't think that this isn't for you, because it is. The CSPOA was formed to educate law enforcement, specifically sheriffs, because they're the only ones that are elected. They answer to you. They have no other boss. They answer to you. We formed this organization to make sure that you had someone to turn to when government becomes oppressive and a victimizer and a bully, you know, like the IRS. Yes. And so where can you go when you are being abused by government? If that's not your county sheriff, then you have no place to go. And so we train the sheriffs to understand their oath of office, to understand their role in preserving our constitutional republic, and to make sure they are dedicated to protecting the civil rights of every single person in their county. Yes. That is the solution for today. We take back America county by county, and we have some counties in Florida that are really setting the example. Call your county, Florida, just passed a resolution to become a constitutional sanctuary, specifically for the Bill of Rights. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? What if we had 1,500 of those nationwide? Wow.
We're moving in that direction. But one of the things I really like about the sheriff organization is, you said it, they're elected by the people. They're not answerable to anybody, and the Constitution is their law, not other laws. Now, aren't there some states, though, that are taking away that power by putting the states in charge of the sheriffs?
Yeah, it's really sad. But the worst state, and this won't surprise you, if I told you to guess the worst three states, you would come up with one of these.
Washington, Oregon, California?
Your first one, Washington.
Washington.
Washington's the worst one. They've been trying this nationwide, but Washington did it. King County, which is the county for the state capital, Olympia is the state capital for Washington. King County is that county. And they now appoint the sheriff. He is no longer elected. They have stolen the stewardship and authority and power of the people to choose their own representative when it comes to law enforcement in their town, in their county. And so King County, that's just a start. And then guess what? The attorney general, his last name's Brown, Attorney General Brown, is suing sheriffs for helping with deportation. So for helping to get rid of international terrorists, Mideast terrorists that were allowed in, not just allowed, but facilitated and actual participation from the Biden administration, Mayorkas, Garland, all of them were a part of it. The person who just ran for president on the Democrats, Kamala Harris, all of them, the Biden family were all a part of this in bringing in cartels, human traffickers, and international terrorists. And now the international terrorists have joined with the cartels to create an even worse monopoly over terrorism in our country. And folks, if 100,000 terrorists have been allowed into our country, Just what do you think they're planning to do? They're going to do an inside attack. And this is just, and people say, well, Sheriff Mack, you've been saying that for now over a year. Yes, I have. And every day it gets closer to it happening. The intel on this and the training on this that sheriffs have been to and that Israel has actually been providing for law enforcement in America, that there's no question that they're here looking at our grid, looking at our power plants, and they're going to attack our infrastructure, especially the grid, and even this day, our water supply. And so, folks, you better. And we have on our website Numata Foods, and that's where I have my food storage. I've got that from them. I also keep canned goods from the store. Folks, you've got to have an independent supply of food and fresh water
I always like
and
to say
guns and
food,
ammo.
water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And that's just a basic starter
That's
kit.
perfect.
I agree with you, but
Yep.
here's what it's really hard for me to fathom. Okay, if the sheriffs are obeying Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution and assisting in deportations, the persecution of them by suing them for following the law and upholding their constitutional oath should be struck down by the Supreme Court.
It should, but we want to strike it down. So what we're planning, now get this, and we'd love to have you come. We're raising the money right now. We're in the process of raising the money to have a conference in Washington. We're going to go to the belly of the beast, Dave, and have sheriffs from all over the country be speakers in defending the sheriffs of Washington doing what they're doing. Now this is the dichotomy of all of this. Iowa sued Sheriff Dan Marks for helping with for not helping with deportation enough. And so what? And so the bottom line is this: if the sheriff wants to help with deportation, that's up to him and his constituents. If the sheriff does not want to help, it's up to the sheriff and his constituents. Now, let me make a very strong point here. No sheriff can get in the way and obstruct deportation. That's against the law. That's a crime. The federal government has the authority to, one, protect our borders from invasion. That's Article 4, Section 4 as well. Okay? The federal government is in charge of protecting our border.
Yes.
So if now they want to get these people out, which they have the authority to do, they also establish laws for naturalization. That's all in Article 1, Section 8. And so they do have authority to get these criminals that the Biden administration brought in and get them out. But sheriffs should be helping. And who knows the county better than the sheriff? I mean, no one else except for his posse members, of course, that live there. But how are we going to identify and locate the sleeper cells that are now in our country by the thousands with the cartels and the terrorists? Folks, that threat has got to be removed from our communities, and the sheriffs that have been trying to help are now being blocked by some of their own state legislatures, governors, and attorney generals. And if they can, they're going to arrest these sheriffs, but they're already suing them. So we want to take our constitutional sheriffs conference to Washington State and set these people straight and let them know the law of the land is that your sheriff does not answer to you. If you knew that we were a constitutional republic and not a democracy, you would know that you have no authority to do what you're doing. The sheriff is elected and appointed by, for, and of the people, and he doesn't answer to you. He answers to them. And that's why we want this conference in Washington State. And folks, we're begging you now to be a part of the solution and make a donation so that we can have this conference.
When is the conference going to be? Do you know?
Well, as soon as we raise the money, we're going to set a date.
Okay, that's wise.
Yeah.
I tell you, if it can fit into my schedule, I'm definitely going to try to make every effort to be there and cover it as a member of the media, because this is important. I
Yeah.
would expect harassment along those lines. I truly would. I want to add to one other group that's invaded this country. And I've interviewed, former Border Patrol Supervisor J.J. Correll. I've met some of them when
I
I
was just on his
spoke.
show 2 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. He's making the rounds now. He told me that we have 13 million unaccounted for aliens in the country, and that's what the Border Patrol is
Oh,
saying.
for sure.
And here's the thing: if only 10% of them are radicalized, that's 1.3 million. I mean, I've been saying this for years. When Bush was opening the borders, and in fact, I interviewed you for the first time on my radio show in Wickenburg, when Bush was president, and I remember saying, this is going to be a Tet Offensive someday. You know, like we're going to wake up and have attacks everywhere, and it's coming. And I know this is why President Trump is targeting gang members, and he's declared them to be terrorist groups so he can get as many of them out of the country as possible. But he's not going to be able to get all of them out.
No. I trust JJ 100%,
I do
and
too.
we never can put a number on how many of the getaways that there were, because we didn't know they were. We don't know how many came in and were undetected. Most crime goes undetected, and that's just a national phenomenon. It's just a national fact. And so of the 20 million that they say came in, you can pretty much know that it was closer to 50 or 60. But then how many of them really came in to destroy America?
Yeah, I would
Well,
agree.
we know why the Democrats wanted them here. I mean, there's no question about that. One is to increase the census so that they could gain more representatives in Washington.
Right.
The other one was to get them on the voter rolls, so they could go state by state in creating a powerful monopoly over political authority in this country.
Yep.
There you go. And that's why they did it. And they were willing to sacrifice America to do it.
You know, there's another element that I see too. You know, having have undergraduate degrees in sociology and history, you think you actually learned something there. And I think I did. What we're seeing here in America, Richard, I think is a Bolshevik revolution. They're trying to undermine every aspect of the Constitution so they can install their own brand of communism. I mean, how do you see it that way too?
No question. No question. Of course they are. And look, the historical fact of what you're talking about there is what, how many wars did we fight? Four, five, to keep communism out of the world and keep it from proliferating across the world. And millions of young men and women from America dedicated their lives to that, and as they said in Vietnam, all gave some gave all. That is what happened to a lot of our soldiers in America. And then now the Democrat Party and some Republicans as well are embracing socialism and communism with both arms and saying that this is just a legitimate alternative to our horrible, corrupt constitutional system of republicanism and our constitutional foundation. Yes, they are destroying this. And you don't have to look very, too much further every day than to see what's happening on CNN and other leftist media to witness it. And I mean, they've even elected people that are part of the terrorist threat. They've elected them to office. Some of them are in Congress. They have already infiltrated local politics, and now they've also infiltrated national, and they have offices in Washington, D.C.
It is amazing to me, and it's so in your face. And I can't believe how passive the American people were for 4 years, but they have awakened. I just read that this is a month ago, the Democratic Party approval rating is 19%, and I'm seeing they're expecting the new unbiased polls to come out, and they may barely be in double figures. And the other thing too, Trevor Loudon comes to mind when you speak like this, Richard. It was, oh gosh, probably 2012, where he identified 70 Democrats in Congress that were members of the Democratic Socialist Party, and they are connected to the Communist Party. They're a front group, and the Communist Party endorsed Barack Obama when he ran. I mean, this is clear subversion, and you're talking about illegal immigration is being at the heart of this strategy, and the sheriffs can stop it.
They can. And that's why we say that we need these constitutional sheriffs now just as much as we ever have. I like a lot of the things that President Trump has done. As you mentioned, I want to talk to him about the to-do list that he should have to do some other things now that he has secured the border. There's other things he's got to do. But we still need constitutional sheriffs, folks, because first of all, Trump could basically be losing a huge part of his power just next year. In 2026, he could lose this because if he loses Congress, if he loses the House and the Senate, which are only hanging on by a thread, and then state governors and state legislatures, we could all be in a huge amount of trouble as far as him sticking to his agenda when he ran for office and promised. I've never seen a president keep his promises better than this man.
I would agree. I have digital concerns about Palantir and that ilk, but other than that, I totally agree. He is keeping his word to the letter of what he promised, and I agree. Yeah. I'm going to give you a little hope here, but we need to double down on our efforts. It's not an excuse to go to sleep.
Oh, totally.
The Republicans have $84 million of spending money available right now for campaigns, and the Democrats have $13 million. But you know who the bankers are going to come in for at the last minute. And so the Democrats will catch up, but they are wildly unpopular, and they're not helping themselves. They're still, they're defending this guy who's an MS-13 gang member, and he's now released for a few days. They're going to end up deporting him to Uganda, but they're defending him. They're defending this illegal alien that wasn't even supposed to be driving a big rig, who killed three people in Florida and then fled to the sanctuary state of California. The Democrats are defending these people. Richard, they can't win an election. I don't care how much they cheat. They're not going to win an election with those views.
Yeah, I worry about that. They're going to be, like you said, they're bold in your face. They were hiding this agenda, but they're not hiding anymore.
Not anymore.
And I think their challenge, that they've been challenged, go bold with it to the public, be as stupid and as communistic as you possibly can, and watch. The ignorant people of this country are going to vote for them anyway.
Yeah, and you know what's happening is I read a survey, and this isn't even being talked about, but I read it with my own eyes. It's estimated that 35% of college graduates are now embracing socialism.
Yes.
Because they've been taught you deserve it, you're entitled, something right. for nothing, and that's the appeal. And so that's one out of three. Now, youthful voters don't generally decide elections, but it's concerning to me we have that high a number. I will tell you, though, I think that'll reverse, because once those people are out there in the world working, they're going to realize that crap doesn't work.
Yeah, the reality wake-up of everyday life really does shun the principles of socialism and communism. But just to be clear here, our form of government and the American system is the complete antithesis of socialism and communism. And they are not, socialism and communism are not governmental or alternatives or prerogatives of our politicians. If we're upholding America, then we must shun socialism and communism. And that's why, just like you and I were saying, their whole intent is to destroy the foundation of America and replace it with their communist agenda.
This is a Bolshevik revolution.
It is.
And we're seeing the first glimmers of their civil war intentions by attacking ICE as they conduct their duties. But you're right. The terrorists that are in this country are their foot soldiers, I think, at a predetermined time.
And they have been relentless in attacking me and the CFPOA. And that's why, this is why we've got to go on the offensive. And this is why we need everyone's help to have this conference in Washington State. We're willing to have the courage to go to the belly of the beast and present the truth. And so we already have sheriffs there wanting us to come, wanting to participate, wanting to help. We've got sheriff speakers lined up from all over the country. We've got constitutional attorneys lined up. We now have got to raise the money for this. And folks, to put on something like this and fly all these people in from all over the country, it's going to take $50,000, $60,000, and that's just the bare minimum. And so we've raised $12,000 so far, and boy, that's not even close to being enough. So we're asking each and every one of you, if you really want to present a powerful defense for what they're trying to do to destroy America and destroy our Constitution, we want these stalwart sheriffs. And this is a peaceful and effective process that we have the sheriff standing in the way. It's called the doctrine of interposition, intervening on behalf of every citizen to make sure that they are not being victimized by our own government. And most of those threats are coming from the inside the states. And that's why we want to go to Washington State, because it's the worst one in attacking sheriffs and attacking our Constitution and attacking the principles of liberty. We need the American people on board with us. You can become a member of the CSPOA. You can join our posse, so we train you how to work with your sheriff's posse. And
How do
indeed,
they join?
they just go to CSPOA.org. It's right on the front page. It's $11 a month, a whopping $11 a month. And look, we bless each other. You help keep us funded, and $11. You can do it cheaper and do a $99 a month, a year, and you can make a separate donation for our cause and this constitutional convention conference that we're going to have for our constitutional sheriffs and the American people. You're going to be invited as well, and it's going to be in Washington State. We have the county that we're going to have it in, but we don't have the facility. But folks, I'm not going to plan a meeting if I don't have the funds to do it. And
Well,
so
we're going to help you
we've
do
got the
it.
people
CS.
ready. We've got the people ready, and we're asking each of you to get involved in a solution that is both peaceful and effective and the cause of liberty. This is the holy cause of liberty, my friends. And we're staying strong, and we're staying active, and we're not giving up.
So is that on the end of that CSPOA? Is it dot org?
It is. It's dot org.
Okay,
Yes.
that's what I thought. Yeah, people join CSPOA. And you want to make an additional donation upon that. The Common Sense Show is going to be doing that ourselves. This is too important. I want to talk to you. I'm going to ask you a question, but first I want to set the stage for the question. In Washington State, as you've indicated, the state is suing sheriffs for doing their job, their constitutional duty.
Correct.
Here in Arizona, we have a unique dichotomy right now. We have Jerry Sheridan. Thank God Jerry got elected. Seriously. Our dream come true with Jerry Sheridan being elected. But he is a constitutional sheriff, no nonsense, let's get the job done. I love him, doesn't embellish anything. And now we've just appointed a police chief that says, we're not allowing our officers to assist ICE. Well, I'm thinking, what if ICE gets attacked? He has drawn the line in the sand, Richard. I've heard him on TV. I've seen it. We're not assisting ICE in any way, shape, or form. What happens when the sheriff conflicts with the police department and they share jurisdictional authority?
It's happened before. It's happened several times, actually. And Sheriff Joe Arpaio, I know you remember him. He's 93 years old now, still kicking. I just called him last week and had a good talk with him. When he was going around arresting and raiding business that were using illegal aliens, he did it inside the city limits of Mesa. And the chief of police there and a few other city council members and a few others started complaining about Sheriff Arpaio and said that he does not have jurisdiction in the city limits of Mesa. And he said, the last time I checked, Mesa is in Maricopa County. And so let's be real here, folks. The police departments and the sheriff's offices all across this country have gentlemen agreements, not legal agreements, not lawful agreements, just a gentleman's agreement, a handshake saying, you inside the city limit, Mesa PD, you will handle all the calls for law enforcement services inside the city limits of Mesa. Outside the city limits, it's the sheriff's office. And so you'll see sheriff's office patrol vehicles in Chandler, in Queen Creek, in Gilbert, where I live, in Tempe, in Scottsdale, in Glendale, all over the county, from the north to the south, ends of the county. and the East West, same thing. That's the gentleman's agreement. However, the sheriff has concurrent jurisdiction throughout the entire county, and he does not have to bow down to the chief of police. I called meetings with our chiefs of police when I was sheriff. Every month we met and tried to be on the same page and communicate, because we provided actually dispatch services for all of them so we could save everybody money. You don't have to have your own individual dispatch. This is the same thing with that's going on today. And if Sheriff Sheridan has a conflict with the city of Phoenix, and they need to go inside the city of Phoenix, they don't need permission and they can do it. I know he wants to be diplomatic and fair with the new chief of police in Phoenix. All that's fine. But at the same time, the sheriff does not have to ask permission. And guess what? Everybody inside those city limits votes for the sheriff. It's not like it's a geographical boundaries. They're not. And quite honestly, we only need the sheriff's office and should only have one law enforcement agency for the entire county. But the cities went on and made their own police departments a long time ago. That's not going to change. So we're not even going to go there. Quite honestly, you have to be able to work with the local police departments. But does he have to? No.
Here's my concern. ICE is carrying out a duly constituted raid. And they're arresting dangerous illegal aliens, gang members, and so forth, and people who have criminal records. Dangerous criminal records, not shoplifting, but armed robbery, pedophilia, okay, the like. And they're there and being assailed. I view the police chief's comments in Phoenix as we're standing down. That's how I took it. And I would hope that Sheriff Sheridan would step in and says, we don't care what you do. Stay out of the way. We're bringing the deputies.
Well, he can fill the gap, absolutely, just as you're alluding to. However, you need to know something else. Maricopa County Sheriff's Office is down about 1,200 officers.
Yeah, I know that.
And he's increasing it, and he's working on that. But to provide all of that for every city that wants to back off and back away from deportation assistance, it would be extremely difficult and a big strain on their resources.
This police chief cited, and I need to explain this to the audience very briefly, SB 1070 from years ago. And they said, he said, we're not going to go through that again where we're arresting people based on their race. No, people were pulled over, and if they couldn't produce documentation like a driver's license, then they called in ICE. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're right.
But they tried to say they were pulling over brown skin people because they had brown skin. Look at Russell Pierce helped us out here with our property rights deal.
Yes.
And I talked to Russell about this. He did not want to go after Hispanics at all. He wanted to basically catch lawbreakers.
Right.
And he wanted to give Sheriff Arpaio the authority to do that if necessary. And because Obama was the president, he characterized it as an attack on a race. And how dare you stop our illegal immigration where we want to change the balance of power politically? I just wanted to point that out. So here's where I want to go with this question. Let's assume that these terrorists that are in a country make good and they do terrible damage to the grid and they throw the country in chaos. Do you think the sheriffs will be the organizing authority because they can deputize the public?
I absolutely do.
I do too.
That's going to be the last form of law enforcement that most of us are going to recognize.
I agree.
And the sheriff has the authority to do it now, and many sheriffs already have formed their posses of citizen volunteers. Sheriff Arpaio was the example of that for 20 years. He had over 2,500 people on his posse. They did excellent work. And in fact, one of his investigators on his posse investigated the president of the United States, one Barack Obama, for issuing a falsified birth certificate.
Yes.
And we had Detective Zulo come to our conference in Washington, St. Louis, Missouri, back in 2013, and he did a class and presented the evidence that he had. It was absolutely irrefutable.
Do you know if he had his life threatened because county clerk and recorder in Hawaii did not survive when she was exposing the same thing?
Right. Right. And there's been a lot of subterfuge about that, no question. But the Justice Department has failed to act on the evidence that they submitted. And they wanted county attorneys and AGs from every state to prosecute Obama for that. And none of them did, for some crazy, crazy thing. I guess they were all afraid that the leftist communists in government were taking over and they didn't want to stand against them. But it's still going on today. Of all the criminals in the Biden administration, Sheriff Mark Lamb did his own investigation, criminal investigation on Mayorkas. He turned it into his county attorney. That guy lost, but this new guy was supposed to be this real stalwart Republican, and he's never filed charges on him either. So I don't know what's going on, but I do know that we need the sheriffs to toughen up in this country, and they are going to be our last line of defense. And like my book says, it's available on my website, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope.
Because we're also going out on TV, I'm going to put this up on the screen here and I'll describe it to our audio listeners. Can you see that, Richard?
Yes, it's off. It's not in the center.
Oh, I've got
Center.
a full screen.
There it is. There it is.
Okay.
That's the
A little
book.
delay there. But anyway, we're looking at the
Folks,
book.
that picture is a lie. It's not that thick of a book. It's only 50 pages. Other than
Yeah. No, I'm.
that, that's the book. But yes, get that book, folks.
It's County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, written by Sheriff Richard Mack. And Richard, since we're on the topic here, how do people get a copy of the book?
Right there on the website. I think it's also on Amazon. Not all my books are on Amazon, but I'm pretty sure that one is. But you just get it from my website. I don't care where you get it, but it's out there and it's extremely popular. This book with that one, you should have. Oh, again, pass them all out. But I make a little money off of that one. Off of this one, folks, it's absolutely the most powerful. This is the most powerful book, except for a pocket Bible or a pocket constitution, that you could get anywhere in the world. I'm not kidding you, folks. You have got to get this book. You will be amazed by the miracle of this, and you will want to pass it around, and you need to pass it around because, again, the most powerful Supreme Court case ever regarding state sovereignty and the 10th Amendment.
Well, I think there's no question. I'm actually surprised that any of your books are on Amazon. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean it as support because Amazon will only let people go so far in telling the truth. You know,
Well,
it's like YouTube, same thing.
I didn't actually do it. Somebody else did it for me. A guy that distributes books, and he actually buys them for me, and then he gets them on Amazon. So I guess he already had a good relationship with them.
Well, he probably knew the key words not to say and the ones to say, you know, and I, because this is all AI generated, you know, it's just, but I'm really glad that it's out there. And a lot of people are going to hear this interview.
See, it's a real small book. It's small, folks, but
Okay.
I'm kind of like Thomas Paine. I write pamphleteer,
I like that comparison.
Yeah, thank
No,
you.
that's a great comparison. Thomas Paine.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, our show, The Common Sense Show, his pamphlet.
It's pamphlet, the common sense.
Yeah, Common Sense. And that was deliberate when we put the name of the show on here. That was, we wanted to appeal to people's common sense, but we're referring to his notion where he kept repetitively saying in the pamphlet, 'tis time to part, talking about the desire of the colonists to separate from the king of England, and it's time to part right now from the tyranny that's trying to overtake this country. And it's interesting you'd make that comparison. I think that is fantastic. Well, I do you have a time frame to raise this money in, or is it just as much as you can do as
Well,
quickly as you can do?
we've been really struggling with it because some of our usual donors are missing in action, and
Really?
haven't returned my calls. But we've had a few new donors. But folks, I will tell you something that you might want to look at. Anybody who makes a $750 donation, we will pay the shipping. You get our posse, our CSPA posse badge and wallet. And this is just like detectives carry. This is the exact same companies, folks. So again, $750 donation to CSPOA at CSPOA.org. We will send this back to you in the mail. Okay. We'll pay the postage. And you also get a membership in the CSPOA with that. So do that on our website as well. And also, I wanted to make sure that everyone knows, because this has been a huge topic. Does President Trump have the constitutional authority to take over Washington, D.C. law enforcement and politics and whatever else? I'm not going to quote it to you right now. I'm just going to tell you, yes, he does, 100%. Read Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, Clause 17. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. And you will see that the 10 miles square that was granted to the federal government to have a U.S. capital does allow it and does maybe even requires it, not just allows, but requires Washington, D.C. to have 100% authority in that area. So read Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17.
Unfortunately, because DC is technically, I guess you'd call it a territory, they don't have a sheriff, do they?
No, they don't. They could create their own if they wanted to, but they already have their own law enforcement. They have the Capitol Police, they have the FBI and Secret Service. All of those are legit when it comes to staying within their proper sphere of authority. And that's another powerful principle in my Supreme Court case. So, folks, seven sheriffs, six sheriffs joined me in that lawsuit. Sheriff Prince and Sheriff Mack ended up at the Supreme Court together on this case. The only time in history where sheriffs sued the federal government and kicked their butt and won a case at the United States Supreme Court.
I want to talk to you about that moment because I'll share this with you. When we took our son, I think he was 8 years old at the time, and my wife and I took our son to DC and we toured all the places, sat through a session of Congress, had to suffer through Nancy Pelosi. But we went into the Supreme Court. I was stunned how small it was. What was
Yeah.
your reaction when you went in for the hearing? I know you were focused on your case, but what was your overall reaction?
I was so nervous and so in awe that I was standing in that room. And James Brady, for whom the Brady Bill was named, was sitting just a few chairs from me in his wheelchair. And I was so impressed with him. I went over and talked with him and shook his hand. He was very gracious. He said he admired me for what I had done. And I told him I appreciated his service. I was so into that and watching these nine justices come out from behind the curtain. I didn't notice how big, I didn't notice how small. I was just in total awe of the
Yeah, I
whole
bet
thing.
that. Yeah.
This small town boy inside the United States Supreme Court on a case that I invented, that I started, with the good Lord and my wife being the only support I had behind me. It was just so phenomenally miraculous that I was caught up in the spirit of all of that.
What did your friends tell you? Say, Richard, you're taking a big chance. This is
Are
the
you totally crazy?
Clintons. I knew that would be the re I might have said that to you. I remember you were my third guest on my radio show. I started my radio career. You were my third guest. And when you're telling this story, and I knew some of the detail, I knew the outcome, I didn't know the details, and I'm thinking, how are you still alive?
I know. Well, the biggest reason why I survived is because Sheriff Prince joined just 5 or 6 weeks later. If he hadn't, I would have been in real trouble, because then five other sheriffs, you can't bump off seven sheriffs from all across the nation.
That might have drawn some attention. Did you get threatened?
Oh yes.
Can you talk about the nature of the threat?
Well, when my wife took our kids to do school shopping in Phoenix. I think they thought that I was my son because we're the same size and the same dark hair, and he was sitting in front. His window got shot out of our van.
Whoa.
Yeah.
While he was in it?
Yes. While he was in it.
My
Yeah,
goodness.
we never saw the projectile, so we don't know if it ricocheted off or what kind of a gun it was. It was shot out,
Oh, man.
and then I went with my wife to follow up. I wouldn't let her go to Phoenix alone.
Yeah.
I should have known better the first time. And then there was a guy in one in the Fiesta Mall, which doesn't exist anymore. Fiesta Mall in Tempe, where that was my wife's favorite store. It doesn't even exist anymore. It's out of business. And then we went way over into Peoria at the what's the mall over there?
Arrowhead.
No. Anyway, it's over in Peoria, and we were over there, and the same guy that was, I thought he was a store clerk, but he's the same guy that was following my family around in Tempe was also next at the same mall in Peoria, an
Wow.
hour, 45 minutes away. So I know they were following me. I know they had people tailing me wherever I was going and whatever we were doing. And so we got calls, hang up calls of threats. We got mail, emails, and it was, we were just constant fear. And so it was just crazy. But I went on with my life, and I made sure that my wife had a gun with her everywhere she went. I did, obviously. And then we had a real scare. Somebody came into our room when I was at a sheriff's conference in our hotel room in Phoenix. Somebody just walked in at night. And so I immediately called the front desk and I said, "What the hell's going on? Where's your security?" And they go, "Sheriff Mac, we're really sorry. That was one of our people. They made a mistake. They thought your room was empty and they were going in to check the room. Our mistake. We certainly apologize." And I said, "Do you know how close your person came to getting shot?" He goes, "We know you're a sheriff. We know you're carrying and packing. We recognize that. We're not going to charge you for your room or any of your food while you're here." And so they were probably more scared than I was because they knew that their person could have been shot.
This harassment that you're talking about earlier with the shooting out of the window your son was driving.
No, my
Curious.
wife was driving. He was on the passenger
No,
side.
yeah, I said, yeah, okay. But what's interesting is Carrie Lake had harassment like this where they put something in her daughter's tire that it wouldn't go flat until it reached a certain speed, and then you'd have a catastrophic blowout and anything could
Oh,
happen. A car would roll. Carrie talked about that at a press conference. So, Arizona is known for this. And I don't know if it's unique to Arizona, but I know other politicians. I mean, Joe Arpaio had his problems.
yeah.
Russell Pierce had his problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And so people need to know that people like Sheriff Mack doing this kind of work takes enormous chances with his safety and that of his family to try to keep us free. And Sheriff, I can't tell you. We need to absolutely get people pushed to joining CSPOA in the beginning. Are you able to take any of that money from the membership and apply it to this conference coming up?
Oh yeah, of course. And
Okay.
the day-to-day operations are paid for out of people joining. And look, there's no contract. If people don't like what we're doing, go ahead and quit. But we will earn your trust and your financial support. We will earn that. And we have for the last 20 years. So folks, become a part of this. It is the only peaceful and effective solution we really have left.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And people need to realize that you're part of the majority that wants peace. I read this fake poll someone put up on X, and they said 80% of the people in D.C. are opposed to the National Guard being there. And then I'm looking at some of the posts on X saying I've been able to go out to dinner and eat for the first time in 4 years, and I went out four times in four nights.
Good
And I'm reading
for
these
them.
posts. Yeah, listen. the average person, not cartel, the average person wants law and order.
Of course we do.
And this is what you're offering. But I will say this, I really believe this, Richard. If our society at least temporarily goes to hell in a handbasket, you better hope you have a strong sheriff. If you're in Washington State, buyer
Yeah.
beware, as
Right.
you got no one there to stand up for you. And what I love about what the sheriffs can do, as I indicated earlier, they can go to the community members and you're able body, you're now a deputy, and they can go right down the line and they can increase their force tremendously. And that will be the law and order when society fragments.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
And that's absolutely amazing. Before we go, I wanted to ask you your opinion on something. Do you think the cartel are infiltrating law enforcement, local law enforcement agencies?
Yes, to an extent. I mean, obviously in California, they already have, and they've actually put people on city councils that were not even citizens. So yeah, that would be an easy thing to do. The cartels have infiltrated our political structure, especially with their monetary influence,
I know
because,
that.
well, they set up businesses. They know they set up restaurants, they set up manufacturing companies, they set up warehouses, and then the money they bring in through drugs is laundered through a shill company, and they donate. They donate huge amounts to Arizona politicians, as you already know, and they do it nationwide as well. And so, would it be hard for a cartel member to become an honorary citizen in the community and become a peace officer? Of course. I don't believe it's widespread, but they absolutely have done it.
Well, I can tell you, I know this for a fact. Absolutely, I stand on this, but the source has to remain confidential. But they're well connected. They're connected all the way to Hegseth. The military has a problem with two things: trying to root out the communists, Chinese that joined the military during the Biden years, and the cartel members. And the cartel members account for most of the AWOL soldiers that desert. They get their military training and they go back to Mexico and then teach what they've learned.
No question. And quite honestly, my degree is in Latin American studies and sociology. I've been a graduate of the FBI National Academy, and that's not to become an FBI agent. That is training the FBI offers law enforcement
Right.
professionals throughout the country. Most people don't even know what that is, but it's the FBINA, FBI National Academy. I was invited to that back in 1991 when I was sheriff. It's excellent training. So I've had all the training that is humanly possible on all of this. And so, yes, I'm afraid that there's a lot more subterfuge behind the scenes than we could ever imagine. Remember, we only detect about 15% of all crime. That includes public corruption.
I'd be surprised if the public corruption detection is that high,
Yeah.
given what we went through in the last 4.5 years. Well, Sheriff Richard Mack has a great book out. Sheriff, again, talk about the book for a second. Tell people how they can get it.
Well, I have two law enforcement books. One is The Proper Role of Law Enforcement. That's excellent. That's even smaller than the other one. It's only 30 pages long, but you've got to see that. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. I wrote that to sheriffs, but for you, the people. Everyone needs to read that. It's been my biggest seller by far. I have other books. Check them out when you go to the website at CSPOA.org. And then, of course, the little booklet. This Hummer is the best book anybody could get, except for the Bible and the Constitution.
Absolutely
It's
fantastic.
going to floor you what the Supreme Court actually said and did.
Well, Sheriff, thank you for your service and what you're doing to organize sheriffs, our last line of defense. And ladies and gentlemen, join CSPOA.org. Richard, thanks so much for coming on. God bless you.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks for having me.